kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon si Dr. Christine Aquino mula University of Technology, Sydney at ating pag-uusapan ng isa sa pinakapaboritong sangkap ng maraming mga Pinoy, ang kalamansi. Magandang araw, Dr. Christine Aquino.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Salamat din sa pag-unlock sa aming request. So, sa nalalapit na Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, isa ka sa mga bumuo ng tinatawag nilang Kalamansi Story kasama ang Entree Pinays.
Yes, I am.
At dito ay sinuri nyo o pinag-aralan nyo ang kahalagahan o significance ng kalamansi sa buhay ng maraming migrante.
Yes, that's right. So, I've co-edited the Kalamansi Story with Grace Fidesz and Mariam, and so really we're using Kalamansi as a kind of vehicle to an everyday lens to explore the Filipino migrant experience in Australia.
Why the Kalamansi? Being a migrant myself, I never really associated with the Kalamansi as a single ingredient or something that's singularly significant in my life as a migrant. It was always paired with patis or pansit or suka. So why the Kalamansi by itself?
That's a good question. And look, you know, I think, you know, just that description, I think, captures why Kalamansi ended up being quite a nice vehicle to tell stories about Filipino migrants. So really, as in, you know, captured by your description, you know, Kalamansi is, I think, a little bit of an unsung hero. You know, it's always usually just an accompaniment. It's not kind of the main feature of a dish. So yeah, it's almost like an unsung hero. It's kind of very unassuming. It's easily camouflaged in, you know, when it's growing, like the fruit. It's a very small fruit and it's green. It can be easily camouflaged by its leaves. And, you know, when it's planted here, it's also often misrecognized, right? So I think yes, that's right. So it gets misrecognized for kumquat or other kind of similar limes, or they don't quite know what it is. You know, maybe it's like a mini mandarin or something like that. And in many ways, it kind of resonates with the experience of Filipino migrants in Australia. So, you know, Filipino migrants, you could say, have kind of lived under the radar as a kind of migrant group. Which for various reasons that are unpacked in this anthology. But yeah, like when I say that, I mean, you know, in many ways we're considered as, you know, very well integrated into Australian society, whether that's economically integrated or culturally integrated, you know, have coming here with many Filipino migrants are proficient already in English, have high educational attainment as well, which are kind of seen as markers for successful integration, right? And so in many ways, it's kind of seen as an unproblematic community in the spectrum of Australian multiculturalism, the kind of orders which migrants are integrated or not. So yeah, in one way, it kind of resonates with that experience that we're kind of just it's a kind of unassuming migrant group that's kind of flown under the radar. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, there's also been a lot of misrecognition, just to say Kalamansi is also misrecognized. So particularly, say, in my research where I look at experiences of racism and exclusion, you know, Filipino migrants, if they're not kind of made almost invisible through this kind of model migrant status, the other end of the spectrum is, you know, these kind of sensationalized ideas about what the Filipino migrant is. So, for example, you know, we've been with Filipino women have been labeled as mail order brides back in the 80s and 90s when in popular media or say news articles might tend to focus on storylines around exploited or opportunistic workers. Migrant workers, for example. Yeah, so there's kind of these two depictions of what Filipino migrants are. And so these kind of misrecognitions. So, you know, bringing that back to the calamansi, like, I think it's quite, it resonates with the experience of Filipino migrants in that, you know, these kind of politics around invisibility, misrecognition, and recognition.
And having said that earlier, when I said that calamansi was always mixed with patis or suka or pansit, maybe we could also relate it to in the earlier years of migration, there was assimilation, melting pot, and all those terms that have, but the language has changed, hasn't it? The rhetoric has changed through the years. Would you agree?
Yes, so it has changed. So definitely it's, you know, now there is this almost kind of acceptance for a multicultural norm, right? Compared to, say, a few decades ago when it was still about, yes, assimilation. But in many ways as well, you know, there is, so I think that that's a kind of good, because, you know, this book really, so you know, use it more broadly, tries to use food as an everyday lens to explore Filipino migrant experiences. Because food, you know, is almost kind of that easy entry point, right, into engaging with cultural difference or engaging with diversity. And it's almost become, so say, eating. In my introduction in the anthology, I term it, you know, ethnic eating. Ethnic eating has is now kind of the easy way to engage with difference. So yeah, because when you say it has it changed, and there is, yes, it's definitely changed from assimilation to multiculturalism. But I think there's still a complexity to multiculturalism, right? That it's not kind of everything is kind of hunky-dory just because now there is this kind of multicultural norm that's accepted, right? And I think food has been a way to try to promote that, you know, yes, we are now all living happily in this multicultural society. You can see us eating each other's different ethnic cuisines and so on. And then, yes, in many ways, that's been a good point, a good kind of introduction to engaging with the diversity that exists in Australia. But then there is really a complex politics to this. In particular, that, you know, this kind of model of multiculturalism that has kind of been hinged on using food as that vector to promote intercultural exchange. There's been a kind of predominant model of multiculturalism that kind of markets cultural difference as a kind of product to be consumed. And sociologists have been questioning whether is this really, you know, a genuine way to engage with difference? Because almost like in the kind of domain of food, difference is kind of made palatable, right? You know, so you kind of say the majority or the dominant majority might consume difference for cultural enrichment and say, look at me, I'm cosmopolitan and worldly and I accept difference. But in actuality, there's still, it's sometimes very superficial, that engagement, because they're still able to keep their distance from migrants.
So it's still seen as the other.
Yes, that's right. So it's more the power hierarchies that are embedded in the consumption of ethnic food still remain. It's the majority or the mainstream that kind of whose tastes are marketed to.
So there's fusion as well.
Yeah. So there's fusion, you know, and that's a kind of what you can get in a multicultural society, obviously with the mixing of cultures, but it's more just how, like, where food is placed, I suppose, you know, how we see this multicultural society. So I think it's more questioning just how successful has it been.
Can we say that the calamansi is just a starting point for a deeper conversation, for future deeper conversations?
Definitely, definitely.
So looking forward to hearing your calamansi story on the 1st of April.
Oh, yes. I mean, I write the introduction to the book, share a little experience with calamansi.
And what's your experience?
Well, I write about, I mean, I think, yeah, I've, you know, you definitely have lots of encounters with calamansi as you grow up. But in the book in particular, I write about an encounter I have with calamansi in a community garden that I was volunteering at Blacktown in Western Sydney. You know, when I saw it, I was really, you know, so pleased because I don't know anything about gardening. So it was quite nice to see something familiar that I could kind of talk about to the other gardeners. But to my surprise, the other gardeners didn't know what calamansi was and had designated this a kumquat tree. And so for me, that raised, as a sociologist, a lot of issues around, you know, the visibility and invisibility of Filipino migrants and their culture in Australia. And I write about that in my introduction to the book.
Thank you very much, Dr. Christine Aquino, and looking forward to seeing you at the Melbourne Food and Wine here in Melbourne.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.